Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 348 of Geek Town Radio. I am back this week with... Ray! How are you doing?
Hello, it's good to be back. It seems like quite a while since I was last on, but it is finally good to be back and to share with you what's been going on.
Yes, it's been a little while since you've been on, so do we want to start off with your film news?
Absolutely, I've combined 2 months together rather than doing 10 stories, so absolutely. Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that. So here's my little film roundup. So as my commitment to 2022, trying to give you 5 stories each month. Haven't been on for a while, so I've combined May and June to give you the 5 biggest stories, I think, that people are talking about in the film world. And my first one, it happened just last week. We got a glimpse of our lovely Dame Emma Thompson in Matilda the Musical.
Yes.
Being made for Netflix, coming out later this year. She takes on the fantastic role, formerly played by Pam Ferris, and those shoulder pads are being the talk of the town. And I know I love the musical version of the show. I'm really excited to see how it's being brought to screen, and hopefully it still honours the original film, because Tim Minchin is behind this and I'm sure he would check the quality of anything that's going to have his name on it. So
I'm absolutely sure he will. Yes, I mean, he's brilliant as well. The music for that is superb. So that should be a wonderful thing to come back. It's funny when you have films that are then turned into stage plays and musicals that then become films again.
Yeah, it sort of goes in a little loop, like a whole a complete cycle.
Yes, it's wonderful that.
So the next bit of news, I never thought I'd hear the day when this happened, but there is going to be a reboot of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So if anyone knows this film, it came out in the early noughties and actually was the end of Sean Connery's career. This was the last film he did. He was quite disappointed with the film. The film was a very big flop and came out under the Fox ownership. And since Disney have taken on Fox, they now have the rights to it, and they are now looking to reboot it under their brand, potentially as a film or a Disney Plus series. But this is the early news that a reboot is in play. Now, I believe the potential was very good. It just wasn't completed very well in the original attempt. I remember watching it when I was younger and I could see the ideas, but there was just something that wasn't right. There was something that just wasn't working with it, and it did get absolutely dire reviews. And sadly, that was the last film we saw Sean Connery in.
Yeah.
Sort of decided to stop his career there.
What's kind of interesting about that is it's based on a DC comic book. So it's weird it's going to Disney, but yes.
It's where this whole split of you buy certain titles and names, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an odd one that, because presumably it's one of those deals where the film rights went to Fox in sort of perpetuity forever or something. It's probably one of those kind of things. So you end up in this weird situation where it is a DC property, but it is going to be Disney that's making it, which is slightly odd. But yes,
Another very big story that hit this month was the story about Rebel Wilson. And more, it's a story because the rumours and the sort of confirmed rumours that an Australian newspaper were kind of holding her to ransom, which is incredibly sad.
Yes.
And someone from the community, I know that coming out is a very individual thing.
Yeah.
And to think that the mainstream media in Australia were potentially holding her to ransom by saying, we have this information on you, please can you make a statement on it? And that didn't force her, and she felt like she needed to therefore do it under her own control, probably not at the time that she wanted to. And it was very reassuring that many images came out afterwards that her and her partner had been attending premieres and been seen together quite a while.
Yeah.
But it's still worrying that that situation happens, and you can now wonder why many people in the public eye still hold back, because it's not always their decision, and sometimes the mainstream media get hold of a piece of information and try and exploit people, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
But huge congratulations to Rebel. She's an absolute icon, and to have her sort of speaking out for her industry, she's been an ally all along, you know, she's an absolutely fantastic ally, but I'm really pleased for her, very happy. She looks amazing now, not saying she wasn't before, but she looks so happy and contented.
Yes.
And I really hope that that is all to do with that journey. So that is the Rebel Wilson story.
Yeah, I mean, it's appalling that in this day and age, that's still a thing, that
yeah.
the newspapers are kind of going to get hold of things and are outing people in that way. It's just appalling. But I'm glad it all seems to have come round all right, but it's just such a shame that it happened that way. But good news anyway.
Sad news on the other side. It was the death of an absolute legend, and that is Ray Liotta. Ray has been with making films for many decades, and also then branched out into TV in his later career. If anybody caught his TV show with Jennifer Lopez about 3 or 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he was just a fantastic actor. And he was most recently in Hannah, I believe, in the Amazon show. And he was just really talented, and he leaves a huge legacy behind him, active since the late 70s, early 80s. And it's just a very sad loss for our industry. Thoughts to his family and all his friends and all those colleagues who worked alongside him, who will still be mourning his loss.
Yes, 67, no age to go. Goodfellas is one of my favourite films. I can still remember the opening line, which is, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster, which is just the greatest opening line of a film. You'll be very sadly missed.
Oh, yes. And my final story for May and June is one of the most ridiculous stories that have been turned into meme-worthy and gif-worthy content all over the internet, is the image of Ryan Gosling as Ken in the Barbie movie. Something I never thought we'd be seeing in 2022, but it has been blowing up all over the internet since it was released. And I think it was probably the marketing that this film probably needs.
Yes.
At this stage, because if you said to anyone a Barbie movie is being made, you're expecting some sort of B movie straight to DVD back in the 90s type film. But Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling are going to be heading this film up. And I think now there's going to be a new interest for that sultry shot that is now making its way all around Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really high-end cast they've got for this. It's, you know, I mean, the people that are behind it, it's Greta Gerwig directing as well, who's like no slouch either. And it's Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling as the two leads in a movie about Barbie. And it's got like people like Will Ferrell in it, Simi Liu is in there, America Ferrera, Michael Cera, Kate McKinnon, Rhea Perlman. So there's some really decent names in that film. It's really odd, but yeah. Yes.
Yeah, there's quite a few, isn't there? And I'm thinking, like, having Margot Robbie and Emma Mackey in the same film together, that's like having twins, right?
Yeah.
That's probably why they're using them, because they look so familiar and they get confused for each other all the time.
Yes, maybe that is it, yes.
And those are my five top stories for May and June.
Excellent. Yes, good news.
Right, I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been doing when I haven't been ill. I have been, unfortunately, very unwell, probably since the last time I did a podcast. I spent about 6 weeks really unwell, and that gave me lots of time to watch TV and films. But I did get a chance to go out and see the Jurassic World film and its premiere in London, and the screening was lovely. They were hosted us brilliantly, and it was all fantastic. However, my experience of the film was very 3 stars, and my review can be seen on the website. I posted it the day after I saw the film. It just didn't do it for me. I know what it was trying to do, but it was trying to satisfy too many things, and it couldn't quite decide whether it needed to have lots of homage to the first film, or it needed to make every character get through to the end, or it needed to have diversity, or it just tried to do too much, and I think it tripped over itself too much. too long, too many characters, not enough dinosaurs. There were some great dinosaurs, dinosaurs with feathers as well. That's not a spoiler, but dinosaurs with feathers as well.
Yeah.
But it just didn't live up to what Jurassic World 1, Jurassic Park, the first film in 1993, and the first Jurassic World. I think one and one of the trilogy have always been great.
Yeah.
And you see a mixed review of anything on from that. And I do hope they rest it now and they say, that's it. That has got to be it. But if you're a huge Jurassic World, Jurassic Park fan, please go and see it. That's what my review really does underline.
Yeah.
You will love the homage, but it's never going to sort of break your critical sort of success. It's never going to win Oscars. It's never going to be writing it as a film that's influenced people forever and ever.
Yes.
It's just a good romp. It doesn't do it justice.
Yes. I haven't actually been to see it yet. It is one of those things that, I mean, it looks like it's going to be big, dumb, stupid fun, which is fine. And if you're a huge fan of the other movies, it's nice to see all the cast together and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, should also give a bit of a shout out to Frontier Developments, who make Jurassic World Evolution 2, and they were the people that got Gray into the premiere for that, because they have a new expansion pack coming out called the Dominion Biosis expansion, which is out now, which ties into the movie stuff. Thank you to them. But, you know, I love the guys at Frontier.
Definitely.
They're brilliant, and they're really, really lovely. They do Planet Zoo and Planet Coaster and a whole bunch of other things, but Jurassic World Evolution 2, that was for. Thank you to them for sending you to that.
Definitely. The second film I saw just a few weeks ago was Lightyear. And I have a mixed feeling about this. And I'm sure, Dave, you will talk to me cynically about my sci-fi problems. I really struggled with Lightyear. I mean, we've grown up with Pixar and we love that great family-friendly fun element. But Lightyear was technically a very hard sci-fi film wrapped up in an animation. If you look at the plot and what they were trying to do with it, it's quite complex. And I could feel, as an adult in the cinema, I could feel at about 90 minutes into the film, considering we still had a good another 20, 30 minutes to go, you could audibly hear the change in tone in the cinema screen as the children, who the parents had brought along thinking it was very targeted to children, were just losing interest. It was too long for them.
Right.
And it's an okay film. And if they had remarked it maybe as a hard sci-fi, sort of a 12 film, I could see it being quite popular. But Pixar have sort of gone in too hard. It's not as tender and lovely as WALL-E, that is a sci-fi film. It's just a little bit, to me, quite complex, dealing with things like time travel, dealing with things like energy, dealing with things like time jumps and, you know, it's just got that complexity where, you know me and sci-fi, I struggle with it. And I just wish it was 20 minutes shorter, a little bit more fun, a little bit more upbeat, and they made some of that really complex sci-fi stuff manageable and palatable for the younger audiences, because that's what Pixar are good at doing.
It's an interesting one, that, because I haven't actually seen the film yet, but as my understanding is, the premise of it is it's the movie that the toy comes from. So the toy in Toy Story is based on this film, essentially. So the film itself can't be kind of Toy Story level of silliness. It needs to be a bit, I don't know.
Andy was a child when he went to see it. That's the premise.
Yeah, maybe.
And the toys are being made from it. So there's my crux. If toys are being made from it, I kind of think it needed to be a little bit softer.
But it's an opinion.
I've heard a real mix of people. I went with someone who was a huge Pixar fan, loves every one of their films, and they struggled with it. They were willing to give it like 2 stars. And I've heard people say they absolutely loved it and they loved what it honoured the Buzz Lightyear history. But, you know, it is an opinion that Pixar, it's not as good as their last couple of films.
Yeah, I do want to see it because I'm sort of intrigued. I mean, the argument is that, you know, Andy went to see it as a kid, but then you look at things like the Marvel movies and they make toys out of those and their appeal to kids. But, I mean, that's got a lot of sort of sci-fi stuff in it, and some of those have time travel and that sort of thing, and they are kind of more in that 12 bracket. So it's an interesting one. I can maybe see where they were pitching for, but maybe it wasn't the right thing to do with that particular character because of the fact that it's attached to Toy Story.
Yeah.
I think maybe people's expectation were different to what it actually was.
I wondered that. A couple of people who said about sort of my opinion, like, did you have different expectations? And I'm like, well, actually, I think I had Pixar film expectations. You know, even when they do deal with the like real tricky stuff, like Inside Out and Coco, are dealing with quite difficult stuff. They still do it in a fun, enjoyable way and a manageable movie length. I just think for this one, a little bit too long as well. To hear that audible change in the children's attention span in the cinema was quite, insightful for me, because I know how long a good film is needed, and I think it was probably about 20 minutes over from what it was needed. It needs to be more around the 1 hour 20 when it was 1 hour 40 in total. So
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So those are my films. Those are my film reviews. Quite difficult opinions, I know. I want to see a film that I fall in love with this year, and I haven't quite found one yet. But hopefully one will come along this summer. So yeah, I mentioned earlier I was really poorly from about May the 9th until about mid-June. I was just so unwell. I spent a lot of time on the sofa. I finished 35 series. I know that I'm quite well known for binging through a lot of series. So I'm going to do a quick list of them, but I'm going to talk about a few at the end. So let me just do a big list. Yeah. I finished Moon Knight, Bel-Air, Human Resources, D.I. Ray, Derry Girls, Wolf Like Me, Anatomy of a Scandal, Here We Go, Russian Doll Season 2, Chivalry, Upload Season 2, Queens, Peacemaker, Slow Horses, Love Life Season 2, Show Trial, 911, Inside Number 9, Is It Cake, Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Grace and Frankie, and Spreadsheet in all that time. Yeah. And I loved a lot of those, and some of them are absolutely fantastic. I just, you've got time on your podcast, I can't talk about them all. I'm going to talk about four, which I think need a little bit of a mention. So the first one is a show on Channel 4 called Big Boys.
Right.
It was based on a true story of the comedian Jack Rook, and it's the 90s, noughties, and Jack goes to university. And while at university, he goes through his journey of coming out as a gay man, and he is paired with this other oddball, straight macho guy who's a little bit older and shouldn't be, is going to university late. And both of them have got complex things going on in their personal lives as well. And it's just an absolutely heartwarming story. And I recently did a podcast with Matt about Heartstopper. Mm-hmm. And I was just saying that there's some absolutely fantastic television programs coming from the queer community, and it actually gives really good reflections of people of a certain age. And this, I felt, was pitched at an age when I was at university. And obviously, I don't have the same experiences, but some of the touching storylines about male friendship and about sort of like allies and community really came out in this. And it was 6 episodes, 30 minutes, really touching. Also, it stars the from Derry Girls, a wee English fella. He's the lead. His mum is played by Camille Kadjuri of Doctor Who fame. And Katie Wicks is in there as well. It's got a really lovely cast. If you've got all four and you love things like Heartstopper and that element of television, then please, please do go and watch that. Big Boys, it's called.
Yeah, Dylan Llewellyn
is
the...
Has that come across your radar?
Yeah, it hasn't, no. Dylan Llewellyn is the guy you're thinking of as the lead. Jack Rook himself actually narrated it as well, apparently.
Yes, he did, yeah.
Not one that's cropped up on my radar, that one at all. So I might have to go and search that one out.
Really good. And if you're looking at like making a catalogue of these great TV programmes that are from the LGBTQ community, you've got It's a Sin, obviously, from last year, and Heart Stopper and Big Boys, and another one I'm about to talk about in a moment, all sort of coming on with really great narratives. The second thing I'll talk about, just finished last week, was Time Traveler's Wife.
Yes.
Now, I really liked the book. I think the film had its flaws, and the TV program started off very slow, loads of complex sort of confusing elements you wanted to sort of unpick. But I felt the series finished really abruptly, and we haven't got anywhere near the ending of the book.
That's interesting.
And to me, has it been renewed, Dave? Do you know anything about its renewal status?
Don't think it has been renewed as of yet.
Yeah, it's written by Stephen Moffat, who obviously we know has got his history with time travel and telling stories through time. I just, it's an HBO series. And when it came over here, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be, 8 episodes, maybe 10. But there are 6. I just suddenly realised I was watching the last episode, and I was like, there's a lot more still to... I can get where they were going with episode 6, but I don't feel it's got there. And so you almost think, are they risking it all for a second season? I'm not quite sure. And so I loved it. Please come back for a second season so we can feel like we can honour the book, because the book is fantastic.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the ratings on things like Rotten Tomatoes and stuff haven't, and Metacritic haven't been great, unfortunately. I hope it comes back, because I really enjoyed it as well. And it's got a lot of Moffat's kind of humour in there, I think. Rose Leslie and Theo James are really good in those lead roles. Mm. He's got a great director. David Nutter directed it. I really, really liked it. And I do hope it comes back. But I know what you mean about it sort of ending abruptly. I was kind of thinking, oh, 10 episodes and then it's only 6. And I don't know whether that was a production issue or I'm not sure. So,
bit of a mystery.
Yes, I hope it comes back because I did really enjoy it, but we'll see. I mean, it's difficult with HBO stuff because we assume it's on HBO Max as well. So whether it's got more of a life on there, I'm not sure. But I found it was a really fun series. Like you say, it is a little bit slow in places, yeah. But really, really, really good. I don't know the book either, and I didn't see the film. So I've got
I remember when I was younger, I watched the film, and then that took me to read the book, and then I realized I liked the book more than the film. So when the series came out, I was like, oh, I must watch that. I hope there's a second series.
Yeah.
But I also finished Barry. Oh my word, what a heartbreaking final episode for a dark comedy.
Right.
I've been watching it since season one, and it has been a completely different journey in episode 4. But that final episode was quite heartbreaking because I'm in limbo as much as the next person about whether there'll be a fifth series or if he was going to continue the character, because it potentially has both an ending but also an open ending, which is very clever of them writing and getting it all ready for this point, because it just leaves so many enigmas but also wraps the story up well, not giving anything away there if it needed to end there. Absolutely fantastic. One of the best seasons of television this year so far, in my opinion. I'm so glad it came back. We waited so long for it, but it is just such a clever program. Funny, humorous, gory, disgusting, but absolutely loved it. Have you caught that one?
No. I mean, Matt talks about this show all the time as well, and it is one that I need to go up and catch up with. There aren't that many episodes. I mean, it's only 8 episodes a season, and there's only 3 seasons at the moment. So it's getting a lot of award nominations. So I think if there is a will for the team behind it to make more of it, I am fairly sure HBO will order more of it, but it depends what they decide to do, really. But it sounds like it could come back, which is good news. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully, I mean, of course, it was delayed due to the pandemic, so it was like 2019 to 2022 before you got the next season. So hopefully they'll make a decision fairly quickly and they can get back to it again if they are going to make more of it.
And the final thing I'll talk about that I finished was Love, Victor, something that both myself and Matt are huge fans of, and absolutely fantastic final season. Tells the story, and I know that I was in a group chat with a few people and we all wanted different endings, and the ending came along and it probably split the group a little bit. It was lovely, right way to end. I hope the story writers got their full loop and their full cycle of their story and they didn't feel like there was anything left open. It was the perfect ending to that series. All available on Disney Plus. I binged it in 3 days. Some people were binging it in one. It was just so good. It just dropped differently to previous seasons. So previously Disney Plus had done the first 3 episodes and then dropped it weekly. This was the first season, the final season, they dropped it all at once.
Right.
So it was a real sort of like everyone jumping to try and get on it to find out what was going on. But absolutely brilliant series this time around. And I imagine Matt's already watched it and I will catch up with him soon enough.
Yes.
To have a real sort of chat about what he thought of that. Apart from that, I've got a few things on the go. I'm still watching Flight Attendant, Hacks, Boys I've started, and I finally started The Orville, New Horizons, or Orville Season 3, as everyone else calls it.
Yes.
Which is my one sci-fi weakness, Dave. I know you don't believe me in this, but I do watch The Orville. I kind of like their approach to it with that little tongue-in-cheek reference to Star Trek in particular.
Yes.
Oh my word, I feel like I've taken up so much of your time. Dave, what have you been doing?
Well, I mean, finished Hacks, I'm also on The Boys as well. A little bit about the current episode. Are you up to date on The Boys?
No, I literally watched episode 1 and then I was well enough to sort of go back to work and everything. So
right.
it's on the, I'm watching an episode of Hacks, an episode of Boys type approach as I turn on it on Prime Video. So I've only watched episode 1
right.
in full.
Right, okay. Yeah, I mean, Hacks, I finished, really solid second season, ends it in a really interesting place, and that is renewed for a third season, so that will be coming back. Flight Attendant, which you also mentioned, is probably on hiatus. They may or may not make a third season. Kaylee Cloquist has talked a little bit about that and said she doesn't feel that they need a third season, so they may do one, but it would have to be the right story for her to come back again. The Boys, this week's episode was the Herogasm episode, which I'm not going to go into detail because we're a family show, but it's not as out there as a lot of the stuff that has been going on, talking about it and how they were pushing it online. It's nowhere near as out there as you would have thought that episode would be. Particularly if you've read the comic book, the Herogasm episode in the comic books is a very, very different thing. So it was an interesting sort of PR thing, that, because they were pushing it as sort of, this episode isn't suitable to be watched by anybody. So you were expecting it to be really kind of over the top in various different ways, and it just wasn't. It was actually fairly...
Is that episode 4?
It's episode 6, actually, that is. On
season 3. I just need to know what I'm aiming for.
Yeah, that's episode 6 of season 3. It's a good episode, and it has some great things in it, but it was being touted online as being, oh, this is like the most explicit thing we've put on and all this sort of stuff. And it just isn't. I mean, episodes of Spartacus were more explicit than what went on in Herogasm. So, I mean, I still love the show. There's nothing against the show. And they did some great plot development and bits and pieces in that. There were some wonderful moments, particularly with some of the lead cast. But it's nowhere near as bad as it was sort of being made out to be. So the sort of marketing didn't quite match it. You mentioned the Orville there as well. Now, I watched Strange New Worlds because one of the big things, of course, that launched last week was Paramount Plus. And the reason that we didn't have a show go out last week and I put an interview up instead was because I was in London interviewing the cast of Halo. Halo is, of course, one of the other big shows that is up on Paramount Plus as well. The Paramount Plus service is a sort of interesting one because there's a lot of things we thought might be on there which weren't. We thought there'd be a lot more CBS things on there, and there's sort of back catalogues of a few shows, but nowhere near as many of things that we thought would be there. Like,
I agree.
Like, we thought that things like the US version of Ghost might pop up there because that runs on CBS, and it may be a difficult sell, particularly in the UK, because we have the original. That would have been something that maybe could help fill out the catalogue a bit, and it's not there. And a lot of those CBS shows aren't there, which I was quite surprised by. I mean, there's a lot of Star Trek on there, which obviously pretty much across the board, although Picard isn't on there and Lower Decks isn't on there either. So they're both still under contract to Amazon right now. Discovery Season 4 is up there, and obviously the previous season, so that's all up there. Strange New Worlds, which is the new one, is up there. Then future Star Treks will be on there. Plus, there's sort of all the historic Star Trek stuff as well. So, I mean, there is, if you're a Star Trek fan, there's loads and loads of things up on there. There's things like The Man Who Fell to Earth on there. The original, The 4400, is up on there. Star Trek Prodigy. There's the original Charmed is on there, but the reboot isn't. There's some true crime things. There's a bunch of reality shows. There's some Queen of the Universe is one of the big sort of new reality things they're pushing, which is a I think it's a drag.
I watched it on WoW Online, and it was originally put out in Paramount at Christmas, so you've got some real Christmassy elements to that show. So
really,
quite confusing as you start watching it. You're like, is this, what time of year was this? But yeah, I'm glad you said it, Dave. I got the app on the first day, and I started going through, and I'm like, this just doesn't seem as much as we were promised. And some of the big reality shows, not that I'm hugely into realities, it has like the latest two seasons, it doesn't go back any further. And I remember there being a push for this huge back catalogue of shows from MTV and Comedy Central, but they just weren't there.
Yeah, it's weird. And I mean, the back catalogue of things like NCIS, there's NCIS Los Angeles seasons 8 to 11. There is 3 seasons of the main NCIS show, but the others aren't on there. NCIS Hawaii, the new show, isn't on there. And you would have thought that would have been quite a big thing you could have added onto this. So, I mean, there is good content on there, particularly, as I say, if you like your sci-fi, you like your Star Trek. I really enjoyed Halo. We'll talk about that in a minute because I know that's had a mixed reaction. There's all of the different Yellowstone stuff on there as well, and South Park, and there's old comedies like Frasier and a bunch of episodes of Blue Bloods. I think all the seasons of Blue Bloods are up on there. There's certain things, but weirdly quite a lot that we thought would be on there missing. So it's worth having a look at, certainly. It's just maybe not got as much as we kind of thought it would have on it. So yeah, we'll see whether it grows and whether they add much more stuff to it. But the main shows I was sort of focusing on the Halo, which it's only got 3 or 4 episodes out, I think, at the moment, or there's a fourth episode dropping this week, because they dropped the first 3 episodes, which annoyed people as well, because of course the whole thing's gone out in the US, and they did the same with Strange New Worlds, the first 3 episodes, and they haven't dropped it up to date. And I get why they've done that, because the reason they've done that, of course, is because they don't want people just getting the week free trial, binging everything and turning it off again. I understand why they've gone down that route, but it is slightly annoying because it has all gone out in the US. Halo I really enjoyed. If you are uber into the lore of the video games and all the extended universe and comic book stuff, this is very much set in its own universe in the same way that the MCU is different to the comic books. It has elements of the video game, but it remixes it quite a lot in a different way. I think they're referring to it as the Silver Universe, so it is a very different animal. And part of the reason for doing that is because it's a first-person shooter, the video game. You imprint a lot of yourself onto the character of Master Chief because you are in control of him and it's all done from your perspective. With the TV show, they've kind of got to make a bigger thing of John, who is the Master Chief. They need to make a bit more of a thing of that. So there's a lot more of him in this, and he has much more of a personality in the TV show. I'm not massively into the Halo games. I recognize some of the elements from it, and I really enjoyed what they did with it. It is a little bit generic sci-fi in places, and maybe didn't quite move as far forward as you maybe wanted it to in that first season. It got a little bit tied up in itself and maybe was a little bit slow, but I think it's a good opening start, and I think they've set things up quite interestingly for a second season, and it is coming back for a second season. Moving on to Strange New Worlds, what I find quite interesting is you've got the Orville running over on Disney, and you've got Strange New Worlds coming here. And of course, the Orville started out as a parody of Star Trek Next Generation and became more serious. That third season has much fewer jokes in it than the previous seasons did. Strange New Worlds has a lot more jokes in it. So you're in this weird situation where you've got a Star Trek series which actually has more comedy than the thing that was sort of parodying Star Trek. Most of the jokes in Strange New Worlds come from the relationship between Pike and Spock and Number One and the various sort of other members of the bridge crew, Uhura as well. It is very much the spiritual successor to the original Star Trek, so much so that it is played out with very much a 5-year mission. There are going to different planets. It's much more episodic than anything else that they've done in the sort of rebooted, you know, newer Star Trek stuff. I really like it. I love the casting. I think it's very, very well put together. It feels much more like a Star Trek series, because I know people have complained about Discovery not really feeling like Star Trek. This very much does. I mean, I love Discovery as well, but I think it's nice to see this running as very much more traditional Star Trek, and some really fun, very well cast, very watchable characters on screen. They just bounce off each other so, so well as that bridge crew. It's not trying to do anything bigger and sort of wider other than tell interesting stories each episode. You know, it's really well put together and very, very enjoyable, very fun. I really like that series an awful lot. So there's the first 3 episodes up at the moment, and then there are more episodes going out, I think, on Wednesday. So they're dropping new episodes for that. Those are the Paramount Plus series I've watched so far. There is more stuff which I plan to get into, like The Offer and all that sort of thing, but I haven't got around to those yet, mainly because I've been watching The Umbrella Academy season 3, which I have got through the entire thing. That has been brilliant. Wow. I just binged my way through the entire thing of that.
Hats off to you.
Yes, it's been superb. I really love what they've done with the third season. It's going to be very interesting to see where they go with a full season. I mean, I would assume it will come back for a full season. Whether that ends up being the sort of last one, I don't know. There is some talk about maybe it coming to an end after 4 seasons. There is only so many times you can save the world, I think, because, I mean, they've gone from basically saving the world at the end of each season to kind of a lurching to another disaster. It's the same thing with season 3. The end of season 2 left them in a sort of alternate reality. Mild spoilers for you there, but yes. The one big thing that I was really interested to see how they handled with this was, of course, since they finished the last season and started this season, Elliot Page transitioned. So
yes,
it was interesting to see how they were going to handle that, because in a show like this, you could very much, you know, they're in an alternate version of the universe. You did wonder whether maybe they were going to introduce an alternate version of Vanya. They had put photos of Victor up, so we knew that there was a new character that Elliot would be playing called Victor, but we didn't know whether that was sort of going to be the same person or a different person or what. And in the show, they do it as a straight transition. Vanya becomes Victor and cuts her hair off and says, I'm Victor now, basically. This is how I feel comfortable. And that's how they handle it. I don't know what the discussions were behind the scenes, but I think it's very well handled, in that there was obviously some discussions about, I would suspect, of, well, should we do this in a sci-fi way or should we just go with it? And it makes sense for Vanya as a character as well, because that character has always been somewhat androgynous. I think it works. And I like the fact that there's a couple of little bits where Vanya comes in and sort of says, I'm Victor now, and talks to the family about it. And the family go, cool, that's what you want. Excellent. And then they kind of move on, you know? And from that point on, they're Victor.
I'm glad it's done like that. And I imagine Elliot had a lot of input.
Yeah, I suspect that was sort of a discussion that they had, and they decided it was probably important to do it that way, to transition the character as well. So I think it was handled respectfully and handled really, really well. And I'm kind of glad they didn't do it in a sci-fi way and they actually did it in character. It works really, really well, that side of things. The whole storyline is just bonkers, and I won't try and get into any of that because it has only just come out, but it's wonderfully fun. The stuff with the Sparrow Academy is great. Klaus has a bigger role in this season as well and is brilliant throughout. There's a couple of panel stuff from MCM that we recorded down there a few weeks ago with Robert Sheenan, and he talks a bit about recording this season, and he's just wonderful. So well cast, that show. Tom Hopper's accent's still a little bit shaky in places, but you know, apart from that, it's all good. Really, really enjoying that. Have you started that?
No, it's on my long list, and actually my Umbrella Academy viewing buddy, his wife just got COVID, so we've had to delay a few things that we've been watching together, including Ms. Marvel, the final episodes of Taskmaster. We're also to watch them, but yeah, she's just got COVID, so she will not be visited for a while. And to be honest, with school and things like that, I need a week or so to get past a big couple of deadlines, and then I'm free to watch sort of programs like that where I can really concentrate. I think the same sits with The Boys. I really want to enjoy it. I don't want to have like my hand like marking or doing something at the same time. I really want to be able to focus on it. Yeah. So I think there are just a few programs which I hold back a little bit, and I know that that's annoying because there's lots of spoilers out there, but I'm like, no, if I want to enjoy it, I'm going to enjoy it, rather than thinking, got my brain on something else all the time.
Yeah, there is a few shows like that for me. There's a few things that I can watch maybe while I'm eating and stuff. Like I'm going through The Young Rock right now, which I really enjoy. Again, it's a great little sort of 25-minute sort of comedy that you can sit down and watch while you're eating and not having to 100% focus on. And then there are things like We Own This City, which I finished, which was brilliant as well, which is David Simon's, the guy that did The Wire. It's David Simon's show. Wonderful piece of work, that, and really, really well acted, and thoroughly enjoyed that all the way through. It's only 6 episodes. They're slightly over an hour, most of them. Really, really solid series, and that's all on Sky Atlantic right now. So there's some really good stuff out there. I mean, we said this month was going to be crazy for TV, and it really has been. There's just been some great things coming out. There's good things coming up next month as well. So we're not slowing down particularly.
I absolutely agree. Like, every TV channel seemed to up their game knowing that Paramount was coming, and there's just absolutely fantastic. It's spoiling us almost, TV programs heading into the summer. So yeah, it's just a really busy month.
Yes, it's funny because the day after Paramount launched, Disney sent out a press release going, look at all this stuff we've got coming. Like, I'm sure that has nothing to do with the Paramount launch. So yes, there's a couple of posts on the website for if you've got Disney Plus. There are things further in the future, and there is also premieres coming to Disney Plus in July as well. There's posts for all those up on there as well. Should just mention at this point, the next couple of weeks. There may not be a regular show. We'll try and get something going out for the next sort of, it's going to be the next 3 weeks or so, because I am on holiday. So
hey.
I will actually taking some annual leave. I will be away for 3 weeks. Oh, there may be some interviews and stuff going out in between, but there probably won't be a normal regular show. So just so you're aware of that, if they don't pop up in your feed next week. That's all the stuff we've been doing. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So we kick off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups. A few cancellations, one of which hasn't aired over here. Woke has been cancelled by Hulu after 2 seasons. That will not be coming back. I don't think that aired here. Working Moms is ending with its 7th season. That's a CBC show, so it's Canadian, but I think that airs on Netflix here. And they've announced that Snowpiercer is coming to an end with 4, which I will be sad to see go because I really enjoy that show, but I think it also story plot wise makes sense as well. They were kind of getting to the point where they're sort of splitting the groups up and the train is becoming less of a thing, so I think that's probably the right time to bring it to an end, but I will be sorry to see that go because I did really enjoy it. They've made a great 4 seasons out of something which was a relatively short comic book and a film, and they've made 4 seasons out of it and taken it in different directions to both the other properties, so I think they've done a really good job to get it to 4 seasons in the first place. That's been really good. So
I did really enjoy the parts of the 1st season, but again, it just came too many programs at the same time, and that was one that sadly took a backseat to some of the other things I was watching at the time. But I really loved the film, and the film was made available on Amazon during the lockdowns, and I just absolutely loved that. It was such a good film. It has our very own Chris Evans in it from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So.
Yes, and that's the great thing about the TV series. If you do like the film, TV series goes in a different direction and does things slightly differently. So it's very much a sort of different universe to the film, and it means you can enjoy both. They did a really good job with that. I thought it was really interesting. In terms of the renewals, Killing It has been renewed for a 2nd season by Peacock in the US. It randomly airs on E4 over here, even though it was announced as a Peacock show in the UK and then didn't air on Peacock. It got sold to E4. So, but yes, that's been renewed for a 2nd season. Selling Sunset has been renewed for 6 and 7 at Netflix, apparently. So that will be coming back. Yes. Swagger, which is an Apple show, that's been renewed for a 2nd season. Hacks renewed for a 3rd season, as I mentioned earlier. When Calls the Heart renewed for a 10th season by Hallmark. That was a Netflix series for quite a long time, and then I think was last season or the season before, something like that, it got stolen back by Hallmark for the Hallmark TV channel, which you can actually get as a Prime Video channel. It's one of those ones you can pay like £5 a month and turn it on and off as you want. But so the later seasons of When Calls the Heart are actually on the Hallmark TV channel. And The Lincoln Lawyer being renewed by Netflix for a 2nd season as well, which I'm quite happy about because I quite enjoyed the 1st season of that. It feels a bit like a network TV show, but a very well-made network TV show. So very enjoyable, that. Worth watching. In terms of pickups and other news, CSI Vegas has finally landed somewhere in the UK. It's going to premiere the 13th of July on Alibi. They have picked it up. Another one which you kind of thought might have turned up somewhere else, but given the CSI franchise, because that's a CBS series, so you kind of thought that might have turned up on Paramount, but didn't. So it seems like the CBS shows are still being sold to broadcasters, which sort of makes sense.
Witnesses,
it sort of makes sense given that CBS are technically a different company to Paramount Plus. They're all owned by Paramount, what was Viacom CBS, but is now Paramount. So they all have to balance their own books. So if they were sort of internally selling it to Paramount Plus, it's sort of shifting money around internally. Whereas if they're selling it to somebody like Alibi, they're actually making money off it. So I think it seems that a lot of the CBS shows are still going to get sold to broadcasters. That seems to be the way they're going with it. Whereas Paramount Plus originals will be going directly to Paramount Plus instead. CSI Vegas is landing on Alibi on Wednesday the 13th of July. You'll be able to catch that there. I'm quite looking forward to that because I quite enjoyed the original CSI.
I used to love it. And I read the show notes and I was gutted when I saw the word Alibi because I have a nail stick that doesn't have Alibi in. Ah. I'm also excited about the side note.
Yes, because the other side of that is the fact that from the 28th of June, Alibi will be coming to Now TV, or Now, the streaming service.
I'm going to turn it on tomorrow morning.
Yes. So by the time this goes out, because that is Tuesday and we're recording this on Monday, so by the time this goes out, it should be up on the streaming service Now, which is great. I don't know whether any of the other UK TV things, because Dave, I think, is still missing. So I don't know whether it's just Alibi or whether Dave is going to go on there as well. We'll have to wait and see. In terms of other things launching, there's a couple of things on Disney Plus. Solar Opposites Season 3, that has now got a premiere date. It's 13th of July on Disney Plus UK. It actually drops the same date on Hulu in the USA, so technically we'll get it first, which is nice, or at least by a couple of hours anyway. So that's going to be Wednesday the 13th of July for Solar Opposites. I'm so looking forward to that coming back. It's brilliant, that series. I know you're mm-hmm. a huge fan as well.
Yeah, good fan of that. So,
and the other thing that's got a premiere date is 911 Lone Star, which is coming Ooh. Wednesday the 6th of July to Disney Plus as well, because I think, as we mentioned previously, the third season will be exclusively onto Disney Plus directly. It's just not going to Sky Witness. I strongly suspect that the main 911 will do the same when the contract runs out with Sky as well. So Disney are taking the slightly different tack to CBS. Whereas CBS is still selling their shows, Disney are, it looks like, reclaiming as many as they possibly can. So if it's an ABC show, there is a fair chance that it might end up going back onto Disney Plus. The one that is probably safe is The Rookie, because it's a co-production with Entertainment One Media. So that is actually sold not directly by Disney. It's not technically a Disney show, but the 911s both are directly made by Disney for Fox, and they look like both of them are probably going to end up back directly onto Disney Plus. Only Lone Star at the moment, but there is a good chance that the main 911 will go as well at some point. But I know a lot of people have been upset about that, and they're saying, I already pay for Sky, why should I pay for another streaming service? Well, that's just the way it is, unfortunately. Now
we're going to get into this world now.
Yeah, and to be honest, if you're paying for Sky, what you're better off doing is getting rid of Sky, getting a Now TV box, which is half the price, and getting Disney Plus instead, because that will cover a lot more than it would mm-hmm. just having Sky. So I would suggest you do that. But there you go. Moving on to some other new stories. Game of Thrones is back in the news again. Not because there is, of course, the prequel series, which is coming out fairly soon. There is potentially a sequel series coming out based around Jon Snow, which is kind of interesting. It was originally reported in the Hollywood Reporter. It has since been confirmed by Emilia Clarke and by George R. R. Martin himself, who have both said that it is definitely in active development. Apparently, it came from Kit Harington himself. It was him that came back and said, why don't we do a Jon Snow series? So he clearly wanted to go back and film some more of that character, by the sounds of it. What's interesting about this compared to all the other potential spin-offs, because there are like 5 or 6 or seven or something in development right now. House of the Dragon, obviously, we've got The Tale of Duncan Egg, 10,000 Ships, The Sea Snake, which are all prequels. There's also Fleabottom, which is set in the King's Landing slum, and there is an animated series called The Golden Empire as well. So there's lots of things potentially coming. They're all in development, not picked up to series, apart from the only one that has gone to series is House of the Dragon, which is coming imminently. But the unique thing about this one is it's a sequel, not a prequel series. So presumably it will be set north of the Wall, because that's where we left John. It does give the opportunity to potentially bring some of the characters back, although whether they will or not, or whether they just set it completely north of the wall, I don't know. If you remember where we left things at the end of Game of Thrones, Sansa was in charge of the north. Arya had gone off to find out what was west of Westeros, which I always thought would make a good series in itself, but they've not gone down that route. And then you had Bran that was in charge of Westeros, along with Tyrion, Brienne, Davos, Samwell Tarly, Bronn, and Gendry, who were all sort of the various members of that council. So there are characters around that you could potentially rope into this series if they don't just set it north of the wall. The only person that I can think of any note would be Tormund Giantsbane, who was with Jon when he went north, and the other wildlings. So I don't know what that series would be, because you've now got a sort of land where there isn't as much of a threat north of the wall, you wouldn't have thought. But I don't know. I can't remember where were you with Game of Thrones? Did you ever actually get through it?
Yeah, I watched the first episode twice. That's where I got to. So my classic story was, many years ago, we were on holiday in Mallorca, and the evenings, it just took a turn, the weather for the period we were there. So we decided to either start watching Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad, and Breaking Bad won. So we managed to watch 7 seasons of Breaking Bad across our evenings in Mallorca. And I only ever watched 1 episode of Game of Thrones. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, I tried again just before the final season. Again, I watched 1 episode and never got any further.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder whether this is going to end up being a way of trying to remove some of the bitter taste of the final season for people, whether it will give a slightly better conclusion, because I never had an issue with necessarily which characters ended up where. The problem with that final season was always how they got there, and the showrunners had got this other gig with Disney, which they then lost, basically because they botched this final season, was pretty much the reason why they seem to have lost that Disney gig. But the irony being that they rushed the final season so they could go and do that Disney gig. And what they should have actually done is stayed on as exact producers and handed the showrunner over to somebody else so they could have made 3 more seasons of it, because that final season was basically 3 seasons squashed into 1. I mean, that's done now. There's nothing you can necessarily do about that. But whether there is something that maybe you can work a story in, which maybe gives a bit of a better taste to sort of rounding off that Game of Thrones story with this. So we'll see. But as I say, there are characters around that you could bring back in alongside Jon. But it also means you could kind of just do a complete show about Jon and that'd be it, you know. So we'll see where they go with it. But that is in active development. Hasn't been picked up yet. And there were a load of Game of Thrones. I mean, there was like 4 that went by the wayside even before House of the Dragon came out. So whether this ever makes it to air is anybody's guess. But it is in development. So we'll see. Moving on over to Apple, they've got an interesting new one, which has got Peter Capaldi and Kush Jumbo in there. It's called Criminal Record, which part of me thinks it's an excuse for Peter Capaldi and Kush Jumbo to go and commit crimes, because it means that if you Google Criminal Record Peter Capaldi, then the TV show will come up, not what nefarious things they've been getting up to in their spare time. But anyway, Criminal Record is a powerful character-driven thriller set at the heart of contemporary London. An anonymous phone call draws 2 brilliant detectives to a confrontation over an old murder case. One, a young woman in the early stages of her career. The other, a well-connected man determined to protect his legacy. The series touches on issues of race, institutionalized failure, and the quest to find common ground in a polarized Britain. That's the setup for it. Peter Capaldi, of course, Doctor Who, thick of it, all that sort of stuff. Kush Jumbo being from The Good Wife, The Good Fight, Beast Must Die as well. So they're going to be playing the 2 leads. Behind the camera, you've got BAFTA Award nominee Paul Ruttman, creator of Vera and India Summers, and Jim Loach, who did Save Me 2 directing. They're 2 really solid names that are behind it. It seems to be there's other people involved in Vera as well. So you like Vera, I seem to remember.
I love Vera, and that's where Kush Jumbo made her name. Kush Jumbo was one of Vera's assistants in one of the earlier seasons. And then she left them and ever since she's been doing fantastically and like loads of great shows. I think she got The Good Wife or the other one.
She was Good Wife and then Good Fight. She was, yeah.
Yeah, so she got that from the back of being in Vera, so.
Yeah, seems to be the team from Vera behind it. It's certainly the creator of Vera is the person that's creating this, and some of the exec producers are the people behind Vera as well. So, and Jim Loach, great director. So, yeah, I mean, that could be a really interesting one to look out for. You like a solid thriller as well, don't you? So.
Yeah, yeah. So I love Christian Bird. I love the Netflix show she recently did. And so I do struggle with Peter Capaldi sometimes, but, you know, I enjoy this one. And I am really liking the quality that Apple TV put out after just finishing Slow Horses and currently in the middle of watching Mythic Quest. So I just think they've got some really good content.
Yeah, Slow Horses as well. I mean, Slow Horses is a great show. And I think it's got three more seasons to go. I think they've renewed it because they ordered it for two seasons initially, and then they ordered two more after the first season went out before the second season was even finished filming. So they really, really like that show. And I really enjoyed it as well. It was really good. Apple TV, I think if you take all of the streaming services in terms of quality, Apple TV are the one that have been absolutely consistent, you know, just quality on every single thing that they've come out with. And you can see it in the awards that they're winning, but just the popularity of some of those shows, it deserves a bigger audience than it's got, actually, that Apple TV service. But there are some great, great things on that service. If you've not signed up to Apple TV, it's like £5, I think. I mean, to be honest, if you buy an Apple device, you've got at least a month or two free anyway. So it is worth going to check out Apple TV, even if you just turn it on for a month, watch it on the web or whatever, or use the app. I mean, if you've got Sky System, you can use the app on the Sky Box. It's well worth signing up for a month and just going to flip through a few things, because there are some outstanding shows on that platform. So sticking with streaming services and moving back over to Paramount Plus, they have announced the cast for Wolfpack, which is sort of not a spin-off of Teen Wolf, although kind of is. It's an odd one, this one. So they announced the cast for it. Wolfpack is from the team behind Teen Wolf. So if you like the Teen Wolf series, it's Jess Davis, who was the man behind the Teen Wolf TV series, is behind Wolfpack. But weirdly, it's based on a completely separate set of books, which follow a teenage boy and girl whose lives are forever changed when a California wildfire awakens a terrifying supernatural creature. Wounding in the chaos of its attack, the teens are inexplicably drawn to each other and to two others who were adopted at 16 years earlier by a park ranger after another mysterious wildfire. As the full moon rises, all four teens come together to unravel the secret that connects them, the bite and blood of a werewolf. That's the sort of setup for it, which is sounding a little bit like kind of the setup for Teen Wolf. So it is sort of Teen Wolf with a different cast by the sides of it. But they've announced the people that are taking those roles. Armani Jackson, who's been in Honor Society and Chad, plays Everett. Bella Shepherd from iCarly and the Wilds as Blake. Chloe Rose Robertson from Wildflower as Luna. And Tyler Lawrence Gray from Our Town and Macbeth as Harlan. So those are the four main leads. Jeff Davis is the man behind Teen Wolf. He serves as writer and exec producer on Wolfpack. He's also writing and producing the upcoming Teen Wolf movie for Paramount Plus, which is another one of those things that's gone full circle, because it is a TV show that was based very different to the film, but was based on an old film, and he's now making a movie that will be going out on Paramount Plus with a lot of the original cast, not all of them, but Tyler Posey, Crystal Reed, Tyler Hoechlin, Holland Roden, Colton Haynes, Shelley Henning, Dylan Sprayberry, RJ Bourne, a bunch of other people as well. So there's a lot of the original cast are back for that film. Although the two things are based on separate source material, they're kind of mashing it together, and this sort of series of events that happen in the movie will have some connection to the Wolfpack TV series, but it technically isn't a sort of direct spin-off as such, but they're sort of in the same universe, if that makes sense, even though they are two completely separate novels. or two different things. So, did you watch any of the Teen Wolf TV series?
I didn't, no. It wasn't my sort of thing. Wasn't really that interested in it.
I watched a few seasons of it. It was actually pretty decent. I know there's a lot of love out there for it. I mean, you know, it was one of those things that was sort of hot young cast MTV show type of thing. But the original guys are coming back for sort of one more outing in the film, and then you're going to get these, I don't know whether these characters are going to get introduced in that film or whether it's just the events of that are going to set up this. I'm not sure. So that's a couple of other things to watch out for on Paramount Plus, is Wolfpack and that Teen Wolf movie, which will be coming at some point. Weirdly, they don't have the old episodes of Teen Wolf on Paramount Plus either. Which
so confusing.
It's so weird. As I said, that's the thing with Paramount Plus. There are some good, really, really good things on there, but it's quite notable the things that aren't on there. Not necessarily the lack of content, but the things that aren't on there that you go, well, why isn't that there? You know? Because you would have thought that if they're going to bring out a Teen Wolf movie, all the old Teen Wolves would be on there, and they're not. So it's just a little weird with Paramount Plus. But, you know, I mean, it's got some good stuff on there. Halo's great. The Offer looks really good. The Strange New Worlds is fantastic. So, you know, there is stuff to watch on there, definitely. That's all the news we've got for this week. Just some time for some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week on TV. We have Rutherford Falls returning on the 27th of June. That's the comedy about two lifelong best friends who find themselves at a crossroads, quite literally, when their sleepy town gets an unexpected wake-up call. It's a wonderfully fun comedy. It's from some of the people behind Parks and Rec and The Good Place and things like that. So, worth watching. I really enjoyed the first season. It's very, very fun and very funny. It's very different to a lot of the other shows, but very, very enjoyable. So, that's Rutherford Falls. First season is all up on Peacock. Watch the second season from the 27th of June. Westworld returns for its fourth season. That's on the 27th of June as well. So that will be out and available. Me and Matt will be doing a podcast on Westworld when that returns. I think we did the preview podcast last week, so that will be up, but we'll be doing the regular show as well for that. Only Murders in the Building, that returns for a second season. That's on the 28th of June. I loved the first season of this. It was brilliant. Did you watch this one?
I loved it. Yeah, I was a real big fan of it.
Really, really good. I loved where they ended it. There's trailers and stuff kicking around on the website for that, but Only Murders in the Building season two, it was brilliant, the first one. They've turned that around really, really quickly. So I'm looking forward to that being back. That's 28th of June. Atlanta is back for its long-awaited third season. That's on the 29th of June. That's Donald Glover's show. That will be back for season three, 29th of June. The Undeclared War, which is coming to Channel 4. That's on the 30th of June at 9 p.m. This is a thriller set in a post-pandemic 2024, the run-up to a British general election, which sees GCHQ secretly working to ward off cyber attacks on the country's electoral system. The cast for this is superb. It's Mark Rylance, Simon Pegg, Adrian Lester, Alex Jennings, Maisie Richards and Sellers are the main leads for that. It's got a superb cast. It looks like it's going to be a really, really solid drama, that. But it's called The Undeclared War. It's a limited series, 30th of June at 9 p.m. on Channel 4. Over on Starzplay, we have Queer as Folk, the US version, which I think is a Peacock series in the US. And again, for some reason, it's not Peacock over here.
It's on Starzplay.
It's on Starzplay. So 1st of July for that. It's obviously based on the Russell T Davies series. Be interesting to see how that goes down over here, but that's Queer as Folk anyway, so that will be coming. The Terminal List, which is a series starring Chris Pratt, based on the best-selling novel by Jack Carr. That's coming to Prime Video on the 1st of July as well. And Stranger Things returns on the 1st of July for those last two episodes of the fourth season, the brilliant fourth season, which I absolutely adored. That will be back for the last two episodes, one of them being feature length. It's basically, they're both extended episodes, but the last one is a full feature length film, essentially. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But that's the 1st of July for that. And that is everything coming next week on TV. If people want to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
They can come and follow me over on Twitter at Grey the Geek. That's G-R-A-Y the Geek. And see me talking about lots of consumer issues and some of the TV and what else is going on in my life. And I'll just take this opportunity to wish you a very good holiday, Dave. You deserve it.
Thank you.
Make sure you enjoy your break away from Geek Town for a few weeks. And we look forward to getting you back just before the summer starts.
Yes, I will be back. 3 weeks I'm going to be off. There will be stuff going up on the website, so you'll be able to keep an eye on the website. There may be interviews going out as well. There may be stuff popping up on the podcast feed. I haven't quite decided exactly how I'm going to structure this yet, so keep an eye on the podcast feed. I will try and get some content going up over the next few weeks as well, but the website will still be going. There's still air dates going up on there, so go and check all that stuff out. There are of course other people around you can go and check out, such as Bex, who is over on twitch.tv/TristaBytes. That's B-Y-T-E-S. She's just raised another 800 and something odd quid for charity. So lots of charity streams and retro gaming and watching Lara Croft for off things over there. So you can go and check all that out over there. Lots and lots of fun stuff with Bex at twitch.tv/TristaBytes. Matt is over on entertainmenttalk.org. So lots more podcasts over there. As I mentioned, we'll be doing Westworld, and he's got lots of other things going out over there. And Daryl at HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series you love which are shot in Canada. For us, go to the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter and Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. That is everything for this week. We will be back in a few weeks' time. Keep an eye on the website. Go to geektown.co.uk. We'll let you know. Check out the social feeds as well. There'll be lots and lots of stuff going up. We will see you in a few weeks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.